Technorama, episode 342 for May 9, 2012. Dost mother know thou wearest her drapes?
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Where can Hulk go to smash?
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama for May 9, 2012. This is a show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, thank you for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I am Chuck Tomasi, and with me is Julie's back! Yay!
Hey!
And as always, Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
Wait a minute. Where's my fanfare? I didn't get any fanfare.
Yay.
Oh, well.
There was much rejoicing.
Yeah. Yay. I feel super.
I'm not going to tell you how you feel because I haven't felt you in a long time.
Ba-doom. Well, I feel super because I saw the Avengers and I just can't get enough.
I did too. We'll be talking about that in a little while. Coming up in this episode, we have a message from the future, a message from the past, and a message to put on your do not call list. All that and more coming up right after this.
Greetings, I'm Kevin Lauderdale, and the name of the show is It Has Come to My Attention. Once a month, I spend just a few minutes drawing your attention to genre-related things that may have slipped under your geek radar. Classic movies finally out on DVD or Blu-ray, not-so-well-known books, audio, graphic novels. Not the sort of stuff you'll see on Amazon's front page, but the sort of treasures that are buried several clicks in under the recommendations carousel. About half the time I mention things for proper geek parents or put into the hands of proper geek kids. And sometimes I even do a funny voice or two. All of this for free as part of the Chronic Rift Network. Available on iTunes and at chronicrift.com.
Welcome back. Hey, we want to give a shout out to everybody who's, you know, before we get into that, we have some feedback. We actually have some honest to goodness feedback. Maybe that's what happens when we take a week off.
And it's not the kind where you left one channel open when it shouldn't be?
No, not at all. No. Hey, wait a minute. You're doing the editing now. You tell me.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
We have an email from Charles Stell. Oh, you know, I wish I had the mail music. You can put that in. Charles writes, this is in regards to show 338 when we were talking about paper tape and paper punch cards and things. And we said, hey, maybe Charles
sure.
knows. Well...
Yep.
He says, hi,
he did.
Chuck and Craig. Nope, no idea where to get the paper tapes these days. The last I remember using it was in 1979, and good riddance to it. waiting for a routine to punch on a KSR-35 was like watching paint dry, only longer. The stock ticker does sound like a way to get some serious geek cred out of the office. Remember, we were talking about the little Arduino, you know, stock ticker.
Yep.
Because the guy took an old actual stock ticker mechanism and hooked that up. That was fun. Go back.
Yeah, we were talking about making a Twitter ticker, wasn't we?
Right, or your wife grocery lists or something.
Yeah.
He writes, after a while, though, it might get pretty old listening to it hammering away to spew out a grocery list. Try to explain to your wife what happened when the ticker prints the grocery list while you enjoy the eternal status meeting and the company Roomba sucks up the tape. Which has run off the desk onto the floor. Naturally, when you return to your office, there's no grocery list as it's being slowly digested by the Roomba in another part of the building. I'm a bit behind on shows, but still listening. Keep up the good work, Charles Stell. P.S. Why do print servers die on Friday afternoons?
That's the way they were designed.
Right.
It's a timer mechanism. I'll open up a problem request for you, Charles. Thank you very much for writing in. Yeah.
Speaking of tickets, I'll write you up a ticket.
Hey, that would be a good idea.
What?
You could give a ticket to a police officer. A support ticket.
Support ticket.
Okay.
Yeah, you do that.
I'll try that. We also have a voicemail from Mark in Memphis.
Hi, this is Mark from Memphis.
Who's Mark from Memphis?
Howdy, this is Mark from Memphis.
I knew a Mark from New Jersey once.
Howdy, this is Mark in Memphis.
Oh, Mark from Memphis.
Hey, Craig, with the sonic screwdriver, speaking of twist it and it pops off, consider sonic screwdriver vasectomy.
Ow.
This is Mark in Memphis. Ah.
The number you have reached has been changed to a non-published number.
Mm. Hit it.
Yeah, that stings.
If you don't know what we're talking about, go back a couple shows. We were talking about how sonic screwdrivers are now real, and stop that. And that they're mainly being used for medical equipment right now, and like twisting and untwisting parts. And that's what Mark came up with. Ow.
Don't twist my parts.
You got to admit, though, if you've got to get a vasectomy, sonic screwdriver is probably the coolest way to go.
Well, who are you going to brag about it to?
True.
I get a t-shirt. I got a vasectomy, and all I had was this cool sonic screwdriver. And I had it done with a cool guy's kind of...
In the TARDIS.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the birthday calendar. We have a few to catch up on since we didn't do a show last week. May 3rd is K.L. Wright and also Leon. May 5th, Joe... Oh, boy. Michkowski, I hope. Host of On the Podcast. May 6th, we have three birthdays. Amber Pace, not really a listener, but mother and wife of listeners, plural. Bill Barber and Steve Bickle. May 8th, Curtis Parrish. May 12th, Amanda Huggenkiss. People still having fun with the birthday calendar, I see.
Yep.
May 14th, JPCJ. That almost sounds like a gang sign.
Or a radio station.
Yeah.
That would be KPCJ.
Yeah.
Happy birthday to you. If it's your birthday and you're not on the birthday calendar, we wish you all the best this week. And if you're not on the birthday calendar, you want to get a shout out at your particular time of year, head over to chuckchat.com/wiki or just click on the wiki link on the Technorama page and add your name. It's free, cheap, and easy. If you want to see the show live every week, we're on Google Plus Hangouts on Sunday night. Just circle Technorama Podcast and you'll get an alert when we do this hangout. 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. We want to see you there. You want to see, well, maybe you don't want to see us there.
Just fire it up and, you know, put a cover over your web, your
the webcam
your monitor.
Or yeah, or your monitor.
The monitor, yeah.
That would be useful.
Yeah.
Let's do that history thing we do so well. On this day in history for May 9th, 2012. It was on this date in 1874 that the first horse-drawn bus makes its debut in the city of Mumbai, traveling two routes.
Two routes or two routes? And on this day in 1887, Buffalo Bill Cody's Wild West show opens up in London.
The steam locomotive City of Truro becomes the first steam engine in Europe to exceed 100 miles per hour or 160 kilometers per hour on this date in 1904.
And in 1926, Admiral Richard Byrd and Floyd Bennett claim to have flown over the North Pole. Later discovery of Byrd's diary seems to indicate that this did not happen.
Wow. What did he write in the diary? This is all a big lie.
I intend to lie about this.
Ha ha ha, fooled you.
It appears that there's flat wasteland of ice below us. Oh no, that's not the North Pole.
Could have been the North Pole. Who's going to dispute it?
Just Greenland.
The Food and Drug Administration, or the FDA, announces it will approve birth control as an additional indication for Searle's Enovid, making Enovid the world's first approved oral contraceptive pill on this date 52 years ago. Happy birthday goes out on this date to German engineer and industrialist Adam Opel, born today in 1837.
And British archaeologist Howard Carter was born in 1874.
I want to play King Tut when I hear that guy's name, don't you?
Yeah.
German biophysicist and recipient of the Nobel Prize in Chemistry, pay attention, Julie, Manfred Eigen was born today in 1927.
And German-born physicist and Nobel Prize laureate Albert Abraham Michelson was born today in 1931.
That very same date, American astronaut Vance Brand was born, making him 81 today. And that's the way it was on this day in history for May 9th, 2012. Craig, good news.
Really? What?
Good news, everyone.
We've been nominated for a Parsec Award again.
What?
Some people never learn.
Anything can happen on the internet.
They say lightning never strikes twice. Oh, wait, actually it does. Place? Numerous times, if you watch it real fast, it goes...
Nobody gets hit by a train twice.
Yeah, we want to thank whoever threw in our nomination. We've now got the arduous task of going through the last year's worth of material to pull out whatever we can to fool the judges once again.
Yeah, like I needed more work to do.
Original content, yeah.
Can't we just repurpose last year's shows again?
Hey, why don't we just take the clips we submitted and just reverse them?
So that'll be fun, and we will find out June 15th. We've got until June 15th to submit those, and then we find out, in August or July, whether we are a finalist. So we're not a finalist yet. We're just nominated. So we've made
hopefully
it to
there's
the
something humorous in there we can use.
Oh, goodness. I hope so, because, you know, we're pretty dry otherwise.
Yeah. Yes, Charles.
Welcome to Technorama Podcast.
Mm. Yeah. Now's the media corner.
No business over there.
All right, first story up in the news, we have the CERN scientist. You know, this is something I always wanted to know. You know, CERN is where the Large Hadron Collider is, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
They also happen to be a customer of ours, which is kind of cool. Anyway, somebody asked them, what would happen if you stuck your hand in the particle beam? Which is something I've wondered, you know, one of those sleepless night questions.
Is this where they show you, they show what happens?
No, they don't. No, that would be Mythbusters. But if you watch the video, the first part is, A, you cannot do that because everything's pretty well sealed off. B, if you could do it, first, it would be kind of like a high-intensity laser blowing a hole in your hand. There's as much energy going through there as an aircraft carrier or a steam locomotive, as was mentioned by the physicist who worked there. So I wouldn't want, you know, electrons and protons.
Isn't it in a vacuum too?
I'm pretty sure it is.
Okay.
So I mean, yeah, you can't do it, but if you could, that much energy going through.
Is it antimatter at that point, or is it just?
Well, you know, I thought they had matter going around one way and antimatter going around the other, and then they make them smash into each other. But I think it's like two rings. The big ring is where the matter's flinging around. If I remember my Fermilab tour correct from 2006, the matter is going around on one ring and the antimatter is going around on another, and they intersect at a point and they crash.
Ooh. Hey, you know what? Ultimately, it doesn't matter.
Matter? Antimatter? Does it
matter? It doesn't matter.
One of the original geek thoughts for those of you who have been listening for years and years. Yep, it all comes back to you.
So this is like the largest lightsaber.
Kind of. Yeah. Except it gets worse. They said... not only are there these narrow focused beam that's about 1 millimeter in width, mm-hmm. but there's also these electrons floating in this kind of halo around the beam that'll just irradiate you to oblivion, and it would just be really bad. Localized, yeah, it would burn a hole in your hand. On a more general scope, your whole body would be dead really fast. So... don't do it, kids. Don't try this at home.
Oh, man, not just your hand would be dead.
I think someone ought to put a sign up, one of those like international graphic signs, like no handy in the beamy thing.
Why don't they just get the blue cube and be done with all this?
The Tesseract?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
We'll talk about that in a minute. But when I first heard that word Tesseract, all I could think of was Tom Smith's song 307AL. It kept going through my head. If you haven't listened to it, go listen to it. Oh, dude, Tom Smith, you know, the guy we watch at Dragon Con?
Yes, yes.
We bought some CDs.
Yeah,
you did. I gave them to Julie. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a song called 307AL on a couple of them. Great song.
It was brewed in a tesseract.
It was brewed in a tesseract.
Which is actually also a geometric shape. It's like a cube with a different cube inside it, and it's
Yeah, look up Tesseract on Wikipedia like I did last night, because I just had to find it. And then I played Tom Smith's 307 Ale.
What pictures did you look up on internet, on Google?
Tesseract.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Now he has to spell it.
Oh, yeah. No.
Good luck with that.
You're going to... Okay, you're going to get lots of movie shots, but there's also a geometric shape in there.
Well, we move on to...
Hacks and Stray Stories!
Lenny's getting creative again.
Hey, I'll have you know I did spell it right the first time.
Put him back in the box. Oh, good news, everybody. Here's more good news. We probably should put this in the news rather than the Hacks and Strange Stories. But it is now officially legal to kill Bigfoot in Texas.
Thank God. That's right.
Cryptid conservationists, be on alert. It's officially open season on Sasquatch.
Hey, so you can only do it once a year and you have to get a license for it.
Oh, that would be rich. That's a good way to get revenue.
Oh, yeah.
Sell Sasquatch licenses.
Yeah, Sasquatch licenses.
Man. And then when you walk into the bar with last year's license on your flannel shirt, the women go nuts for that.
You have to report how many you've killed, too.
Right, there's a limit.
Yeah.
No poaching squatch out of season.
No squatches under 2 years.
Yeah, if they're lower than 6 feet or their shoe size is less than 42, you have to throw him back.
Right.
So what if you kill him and he has little feet?
Oops.
That would be a hobbit. Then you have to answer to Gandalf.
Gandalf, yeah.
The statute that you cite, section 61.021, refers only to game birds, game animals, fish, marine animals, and other aquatic life. Generally speaking, other non-game wildlife is listed in Chapter 67, non-game and threatened species. On Chapter 68, non-game endangered species. Non-game, in quotes, means those species of vertebrate and invertebrate wildlife indigenous to Texas that are not classified as game animals, game birds, game fish, fur-bearing animals, endangered species, alligators, marine. You know what this reminds me of? When Bugs Bunny was reading the what Tasmanian devils
eat. Oh, yeah.
Gnats, bats, newts, gnut, wildebeests.
Rhinoceroses.
So anyway, after reading that long...
Rhinoceroses.
Quote, apparently, as long as you hunt Bigfoot on private property, with the permission of the property holder, you're allowed to kill it. I'm actually a bit surprised, however, that spotting a previously undocumented animal doesn't automatically transform it into a non-existent animal into an endangered one. Then, again.
Yeah. Good point. If there's only one, if they're so rare that we don't see them, how are they not endangered?
Right, then you can't shoot it.
Right.
Or count them.
Conundrum. Or Schrodinger's
nor
cat.
Nor count them.
Schrodinger's Bigfoot. If you see it, you can't shoot it.
But if you don't see it, you can shoot it.
What is that Spock said? Nothing unreal exists.
This is just all confusing. I'm getting hurdy brain again.
No kidding.
Let's go to something a little more relevant to Julie. Hey,
by the way, this just in.
Someone shot a Bigfoot?
Kyle, Mr. Mad Marv himself, actually sent us in an article. We had talked about this before. Remember the guy that stuck his head in the particle beam?
Oh, boy.
Remember that? It went through his head?
Yes.
And had a little diagram of it going through his head and out his nose, or right the edge of his nose.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That wasn't the LHC, though.
No, but, hey, that was bad enough.
And what was it? Last week, we talked about how to build your own particle collider on your own.
The little Hattie.
So, over at Berkeley in California, the student put together a whole bunch of home automation stuff and made himself the coolest automated dorm room in history. There's about a 6-minute video, what he calls Brad, the Berkeley Ridiculously Automated Dorm. He had it hooked up to his computer, and I'll give you the short version story of it. He has different modes. So he walks in, he says, study mode. And the voice activation picks up on this and turns the lights a certain way. So his desk light turns on, his bedroom light turns off. In the morning, his alarm goes on and the lights come on and the shades open up. He's got this thing wired to oblivion. He says, romantic mode. And this disco ball starts spinning and soft music comes on. He says, party mode. Different music.
Baby.
And anyway, he's having a good old time with this. He spent dozens and dozens of hours, and who knows how much money on all this stuff, only to find out a few days later that it violates the dorm policy on
Why?
What you're allowed to have. Well, you know, when we were looking over what we can bring to college for you, we couldn't bring like quartz lights, lamps that had halogen lights in them because they were too hot.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. He must have had his room wired pretty seriously.
I don't want halogen. I hate those little halogen lights anyway. They are hot.
Huh. One of my friends, Mike, he...
needs some Christmas lights in your room.
He got Christmas lights in his room, and he, as the year went on, he wired them to turn on when he turned on the music, and then he got a relay so that they would flash with in time to the music. And that wasn't bright enough, so he took apart like $10 speakers for the dial so that he could turn it up and down, and it was...
Did it go to 11?
Oh, no, it did not. Unfortunately.
And yet he can get away with this, but Brad is out of order. Well, the good news is that, what was his name? The kid who built this stuff. He said, well, school's over in a couple weeks anyway, and I'm going to move into an apartment and set this all up again. So it will live on. Only
that's,
it would be...
That's
what,
the spirit.
Instead of the Berkeley Ridiculously Automated Dorm, it would be the Berkeley Ridiculously Automated Apartment. The bra.
Bra. The bra.
No part of this show is scripted, I'll have you know.
Yeah, if it was, it would sound much more cleaner.
It's a little edited, but it ain't scripted.
G'day folks, I'm Steve Vischer.
And I'm Grant McCarran.
And we're from the Plain Crazy Down Under podcast here in sunny Melbourne, Australia.
That's right folks, we're coming to you from the bottom of the world. We're down here giving you all sorts of fun reviews on aviation in Australia. We've got opinionated news reviews, interviews with really cool pilots. We've got discussions with all sorts of people from journalists, air traffic controllers and aviation analysts.
So if you're into aviation on any level, check us out in iTunes or visit our website at www.planecrazydownunder.com. And remember,
it's what's down under that counts.
Good Lord, is there no end to these lost cases?
We did make a dent.
A dent? Wellie, it's more like we're trying to lower the Thames a teaspoon at a time.
But consider what we have learned in the process and what new mysteries await us. Here's the case of a mythical creature of Siam coming to the aid of the ministry. Here's another set in your native country of New Zealand that tells of an ancient holy man waking a dragon. And here is an intriguing case of a strange series of heists corresponding with a traveling festival.
Well, since you put it that way, let us proceed. Testing, testing.
Miss Braun, exactly what are you intending to do with that micro?
Oh, yes.
We have talked about this.
And now we're going to podcast it.
Again?
Again.
Tales in the Archives, Volume 2.
The second season of the award-nominated podcast from Pip Ballantyne and T. Morris.
Subscribe for free through iTunes or at the Ministry of Peculiar Occurrences website.
Or visit the Kindle store at Amazon.com, the Nook store at BarnesandNoble.com, or Smashwords.com for 99-cent editions of these original shorts.
Find out more at MinistryofPeculiarOccurrences.com.
In the Remember When segment, we have 1920s. Remember the 1920s? I don't.
Yes, absolutely. I wasn't there.
Old fart. Well, back in the 1920s, engineers believed the electric age would die a quick death. This kind of sounds familiar when you think about some parallels. Right. But it wasn't just a fad because, you know, not everybody had it or was only for the wealthy. Oh, no. Our electrical infrastructure spans the globe, lighting up every place on Earth. But it all relies on a singular metal, copper. And back in the early days of the 20th century, many economists and engineers worried that we would run out of copper in no time. They looked
just like IP addresses.
Right. Or fossil fuels. Mm-hmm. What they did is they looked at the fast pace of the copper usage and fretted that the world's copper reserves would run out quickly. They would quickly be outpaced by humanity's desire for an electric world. So they said today, 80% of the copper mined is from Chile. And except for a few years ago, they had, you know, they've been pretty steady on the production. We've also become a lot better at reclaiming copper. Mm-hmm. And there's even recycling. A figure in here that says, well, yeah, just recycling it. But you know, still, people are taking air conditioners apart off of buildings and getting money out of them. But there's a stat in here that says copper is also very good for like the plumbing in houses. And because unlike other metals, it doesn't pit or corrode or start to leak for up to 300 years. I thought, wow, that's pretty durable. I don't think my house will last 100. But hey, so be it. I'll be done paying for it next summer. Actually, no, this summer.
In at least 99 years.
Right. Sell it before it starts to leak. But they said the age of electricity and copper will be short. At the intense rate of production that must come, the copper supply of the world will last hardly a score of years. Our civilization, based on electrical power, will dwindle and die. Who measures years in a score anyway? You can tell it's old.
Abraham Lincoln.
Walked into that one. Not just a score, four score.
Yeah, that's right.
What's a score? Take 20 years? Chuck.
Yeah. Okay, are they saying that the electrical part of the civilization will die, or the entire civilization will die?
Well, I sure am glad I didn't throw out all those candles.
Yeah.
That just amazes me. And when you think about how many times people say that today on various things, you go, remember what they thought about copper? We can always use that and throw it back in their face.
We can't exactly reuse fossil fuels, though. Recycle.
True. Once it's carbon monoxide out your tailpipe, it's pretty much gone.
I'm sorry, I listened to that the wrong way.
Thanks.
It'd be more like methane. Yeah, okay, sorry.
Craig's blowing carbon monoxide up your tailpipe.
I'm helping the trees, man. Wait,
no, that's
trees.
Not carbon monoxide. That's carbon dioxide. Julie's here to back me up on a few things and correct me on a few others.
Yeah.
Ms. Chemical Engineer. In the media corner. Oh, yeah. We were talking about Men in Black and just a few minutes ago during the break. And there's going to be no shortage of Men in Black stuff coming out this summer with the new movie. Would you eat a Men in Black themed ice cream lunar cheesecake?
Yes. And guess what? I did.
The secret word is cheesecake.
I did, and I posted a picture of it. You didn't see it?
No.
I went to, I said, you know, they'll tie in anything to a movie nowadays. And it was the MIB Lunar Cheesecake, and to be honest with you, it was pretty good.
Where did you
get
it?
It was at Baskin-Robbins.
Oh, wow. We are so going there.
Excuse me, Dunkin' Donuts.
Oh.
We are going to, what's the one down on College by Vangrede's?
Yeah, I think that's the Baskin-Robbins in the Dunkin'
Donuts.
Not
a clue.
Which one has 33 flavors?
31 flavors. 31
Baskin-Robbins.
We're going there. We're going there. We're going there. Because I want to try this.
After the show?
Right now, yeah.
Yeah, right now.
Yeah, okay. That's the end of the show.
No. I have to read this first. Every year, there's at least one summer movie that has a bizarre fast food tie-in, usually a weirdly themed Slurpee-style frozen drink. This year, my vote goes for Baskin-Robbins, which just rolled out an assortment of Men in Black 3-themed frozen treats, including the above Lunar Cheesecake. Something about the extreme greenness of it is a bit off-putting. I don't know. Pistachio is
green.
It's
like lime.
Yeah.
It's like
key lime, pistachio. Green desserts are good.
Yeah.
But it made it really tasty. Apparently, it was first introduced in 1969 for the moon landings, because what, the moon was made of green cheese? And they're bringing it back for this movie. Ooh, the same stuff from 1969. It's now 43 years old.
They found it in a time capsule.
They also have a pink surprise cake,
and sell it.
Which apparently is based on a major plot point of the film. We'll have to wait and find out. And there's the spacey sundae. That looks like something clear out of the 80s with a crappy video toaster effect.
There was
not
a
named after Kevin Spacey,
like a mocha thing that was also tied in with MIB. Oh. I didn't get that. I got the Lunar Cheesecake, which I think you'll thank me later. Go try it.
Rumor has it that Dunkin' Donuts is also rolling out an undercover black cocoa donut, a star-shaped yeast donut filled with brownie batter, butter, cream, and topped with chocolate icing and star sprinkles, heart attack thrown in. Yeah. And the Chocolate Lunar Max Donut, a glazed chocolate cake donut with rich chocolate icing drizzle and star sprinkles. Whew. I'm getting fat just reading these.
No, no.
I'm all for that. What do you say we go get one after the show?
Oh, sure.
Done and done. Now, Craig, you have cats. I have a cat.
Yep.
And when I was out in Phoenix a few weeks ago, I was visiting Mike Menengay, and he just bought his cat, one of those little cat tower things, you know, with the scratching post and place to nap. It's about, 4 or 5 feet high. And he said his cat loves it. And I thought,
well, he should have waited for this one.
He should have waited for this one, because I'm thinking I was going to buy one too. Well, now there is from TARDIS Builder, Astromark, for his cat, K.E., a TARDIS cat house. And no, it's not bigger on the inside than it is on the outside.
Darn.
Looks like a TARDIS. Oh, probably, 5 feet tall. The doors, the sign. Except instead of a light, it has a cat on top. Oh, that's the real cat sitting around the light. Because it's probably made of warm.
Yeah, it's got a little, access hole you can get in and out of the top.
Oh, yeah, you can get in and out of the top. Ventilation ports.
Yeah.
The picture of a cat looking out the door window.
Pictures of the build of it. That's actually didn't look too complicated.
Various shelves inside so the cat can nap on different levels of the TARDIS.
Throughout the day. I'm going to go to this level. Go to that one.
The level with the pool on it.
Yeah, pool.
Yeah. That's right.
But you have to be diving off a building into a sideways TARDIS first. I don't know. You're right. This doesn't look that... If I was going to build something, I'd build this instead of just the regular old pole and cylinder thing. Yeah. What did he use for the cylinder thing? Probably
just a cardboard. One of those heavy cardboard.
Yeah. Holly's not going in one of those. Kyle probably knows where you can get those because you dig a post hole and then you pour cement in and you got yourself a light post, right?
That's right.
We just need about 2 feet of that. Then you cut it in half and the cat can take a nap there. I do like this. You think the pet store probably sells one of those net things?
Sure.
Okay, next question. Where would we put it?
Valid question.
And it has to be big enough to go through a door because it's got to move. Sunroom?
It can't be more than 4 feet high.
Family room.
Okay, y'all discuss this later.
TARDIS cat house in the media corner. All right, finally in the media corner, Craig and Julie and I, not all together, but we did see the Avengers this weekend. We saw it first, neener, neener.
Yeah, I know.
We saw it Friday night, and Craig saw it Saturday. No, we saw it Saturday night, and Craig saw it Sunday. That's how it went, something like that. And we'll try not to give away spoilers, but first, Julie, what is your take on the movie?
That was awesome.
We did feel like we should have watched
Thor
first.
Yeah.
Oh, you hadn't seen it?
We haven't seen Thor. It really didn't do that well at the box office, dude. So there wasn't, and it hasn't made it to the Netflix list.
It wasn't the strongest movie they had. No.
Yeah, the strongest one they had was Iron Man, obviously.
Definitely.
And they've been.
And then Captain America wasn't so bad either.
Captain America was okay. Yeah. Also, it really didn't do all that well. So you know, it would have been nice to see both of those.
The movie. Yeah. So I thoroughly enjoyed Captain America. So.
Julie gives it an awesome.
Yeah.
What didn't
One
you
awesomes.
Like?
One awesomes.
What did anything bother you about the movie?
No, but I know what bothered you.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a sec. Craig?
If I had to say any detraction, it seemed like there were the first half of the movie, they were setting a lot up. But then again, there was a lot of characters to deal with. So.
It did feel like a lot of setup.
It was kind of nice, though, because you didn't have to have seen the other movies to understand what was going on. You could kind of figure it out from the...
They gave a few quick flashbacks about Captain America's history and stuff like that. They didn't go a whole lot into Hawkeye and Black Widow, though.
Yeah, see, I wanted to know a little bit more about Hawkeye.
Yeah.
And like I said, it seemed like there was a lot of talking at the beginning. Well, I'm sorry. It jumped right into the action, and then there was a lot of talking... I understand because again, there was a lot of characters and a lot of setup. And then once it started rolling, I mean, I didn't even think twice about that. So
I kept thinking of what's his name? The king of, not Denethor, on Lord of the
Asgard?
Rings. No. Rohan. The king of Rohan, his little sidekick buddy that was actually working for Sauron. The guy who had to shave his eyebrows. That's who Loki kind of reminded me of. Not the same actor, but
it was... I knew he reminded me of somebody.
Yeah. Wasn't the same actor, but it kind of looked like him. What did you like best, Julie? Without spoilers...
Oh, man. Without spoilers, I got to think about that.
Was it the special Hulk and Loki get acquainted scene?
That was a good
time. Well, just leave it like that. If you haven't seen it, you'll know it when you see it. The theater usually erupts in laughter and applause.
Yeah, I couldn't contain myself. I started doing that.
I liked the threatening that that Tony Stark was doing when...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, where he was, where you've seen it in the trailer, where him and Loki are kind of talking, of course, the expanded part of it. Yeah, where they're, that was a good scene. I thought the special effects were spot on. Nothing detracting from that.
No, special effects with the aliens coming through the portal and the, oops, was that a spoiler?
Maybe. Okay, that was well done, though.
The major plot point, that was well done. The, all the characters, you know, Hulk climbing around the buildings and whatnot was pretty good. Two things bothered me.
Okay.
One, and Craig, you already told me about this. This is just a major comic prop, but, the flying stealth aircraft carrier thing just was a little beyond belief. And I know comics are always supposed to be that way and you had to suspend disbelief, but that just bothered me. And when I can't give away the plot point, a major twist without giving away a spoiler. But there was one point where the bad people invaded the flying aircraft carrier. It's just too long. What do you call that thing? A hovercraft?
Helicarrier. No.
Helicrap. Okay.
No, helicarrier.
Helicarrier. Okay. They pull up alongside and they're about to jump on board, but yet nobody tries to shoot them down. Nobody even notices them. They just like hover out there for a while in their own little craft and, you know, have their own party, then finally board. It's like, seriously? It took them that long to, you know, get them nailed down? And then finally, I thought the Hulk was a little too passive at the end. You know, he's the Hulk. He's supposed to, you know, just smash, destroy, be his own kind of guy, and yet it just was like a lost puppy at the end. So
he was kind of a lost puppy when Bruce Banner rolled up there and everybody had, you know, these high tech vehicles and he comes riding up on a little motorcycle.
Yeah.
What did I miss?
Yeah.
That wasn't a high-tech motorcycle. That was like something out of Captain America's era from the 30s. That was an old Harley or something.
It looked like somebody abandoned it on the road while they were panicking, and he just like, ooh, I can use this.
Kind of looks like one of the stories that I left on the cutting room floor for this show. There was a Harley that was washed away in the Japanese tsunami that washed up on the shore of Alaska. And the owner was found, and he'll get it back. Now, it's in pretty rough shape, but the Harley will be returned to the original owner.
Well, I going back to the Avengers. All right, I liked Mark Ruffalo as Bruce Banner. I thought he did a really good job considering he's the third, you know, in line after they've gone through all these other iterations. But he had a fair amount of humor and dialogue that was going back and forth, and which I really liked. And he left me wanting to see a little more of that, as in, like, I wanted to see another Hulk movie.
Yep. And Tony Stark had his usual onslaught of one-liners and humorous lines. I mean, there were a lot of one-liners in this movie. It was hard to keep track of them all. But, you know, we were discussing some of them that were coming up. And just some of the visual humor. Like, oh, let's just call it... when Hulk gives Thor a pat on the shoulder.
Yeah.
Now, Julie and I were sitting in the theater, and there is a scene. I won't ruin it for you too much, but you know, the Hulk, a lot of it's taking place in downtown Manhattan. There are high rises, and the Hulk is on, you know, some floor 15, 20, 25 stories up. and one of the alien craft is about to collide with the building. So the Hulk comes running out of the office area, jumps out the window, and attacks this craft. And Julie says, "Where did he come from?" And my first visual is, he took the elevator, because I could just totally see, you know, some kind of robot chicken thing where the Hulk is waiting in the elevator to go up to the 20th floor.
Nerd.
But it gave a good laugh at the theater. Well, yeah. For Julie and me, anyway.
Yeah.
Well, that kind of stuff drives Lisa insane because we do that.
The last thing I want to say, about this movie is, you know, since Iron Man came out in 2008, they've been teasing this thing up until, of course, now, and it actually paid off because it was well worth the wait and all the teasing and, you know,
the anticipation. Yeah.
Took me a while to identify Chris Hemsworth. Holy smokes. He was good as Thor, but I couldn't picture him as George Kirk anymore.
See, you should have seen Thor because he was pretty big in that one as well.
So how did they do that? I mean,
he worked out, man.
But he wasn't uber buff in Star Trek.
Hey, just like we were saying earlier, look at Chris Evans and how much he had to work out to look as chiseled as he is, you know.
You can't go from like 220 and huge build down to, you know, 180 normal build and then back up to 220 and huge build.
What are you talking about? They filmed Star Trek was first, then Thor, and then
when was the first Thor movie?
Just last year.
It was just last year.
Yeah, it was pretty
recently. So he put on all that muscle between 2009 and.
You can do that. Oh, yeah. You can 2 years.
Yeah. Well, if it only takes that long, get me on that plan.
he was doing P90X.
Right.
Yeah.
For demigods.
That's right.
All right. We have one more article here before we take off. And some of you who travel may be familiar with the Sky Mall catalog. You know, that expensive cat house and things that you see on those catalogs, headphones that cost way too much. Well, now they've come out with the Ionic Cleansing Facial Steamer. Ooh. It, quote, rejuvenates and refreshes the skin via steam molecules that are 1/8,000th smaller than normal water molecules. These super tiny steam molecules supposedly allow more moisture to penetrate your skin, leading to all sorts of awesome benefits. Just one problem. Steam is just vaporized water, so it can't actually be smaller than itself. At only $299.95, just shy of $300, the Ionic Cleansing Facial Steamer is a lot to pay for hot water. Save the money and simply multitask the next time you cook pasta.
Yeah. I was going to say, just boil a pot of water.
And stick your head over it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Take a steamer basket, put it on your head.
Julie might enjoy this middle paragraph that goes, in liquid state, intermolecular forces between water molecules, H2O, keep these molecules relatively close together. When we boil water, we overcome these forces, and our water molecules are no longer hanging out in a close-knit liquid gang.
Is that the way they talk in college?
Now, they're in...
close-knit liquid gang.
They're in a gas state, where water molecules are lone wolves, being too far from their cohorts for intermolecular forces. These changes of state, liquid to gas, doesn't change the water molecule. It only changes how water molecules associate. The size of the steam molecule is just the same size as any other water molecule.
Yeah, I was going to say, they can't change the size of a molecule, can they?
No, not really.
No, yeah. H2O is still H2O. Maybe they mean that it's vapor.
Maybe they droplets mean the droplets are small.
Yeah, finer vapor, I guess.
Not the molecules.
Yeah.
Good try, science.
Skyball, you've introduced pseudoscience.
Good try, science.
keep trying.
You failed the science test once again. Yep. Whatever you see in Skymall, be skeptical. Be very skeptical. All right, I wanted to let that takes us to the end of the show. I wanted to let you know that there is no show next week. I will be traveling again, and Sunday night I will be on.
Hey, thanks
the road.
For telling me.
I did tell you.
Oh, okay.
Oh, a few days
thanks.
Ago.
I said thanks.
Then it gets worse. Then it's Memorial Day weekend, so we're gonna be on the road as a family. So it's likely that the next show that we'll be able to sit down and do, and you get to hear, will come out on June 6th. That's a month away. That's awful.
Oh.
Wow, man. Because by the time when I get back, it means I won't have any time because I'll be at a conference all that week. So it's like boom, boom, boom. Three bad ones in a row. How terrible can you get?
Maybe unless get Craig you to wants phone to phone in. Can you phone in, do a show?
Not this coming Sunday night for the May 16th show. Okay. I'll be working, man. I'm working.
Mother's Day?
I'll be out of town on Mother's Day, but I do have a card. One for me, one for the girls have to sign, and I got a bushel, whatever you want to call it, of other birthday cards and things to get in the mail this week right away. So, thank you for listening. Hope you enjoy this one. Listen to it three or four more times, or go back and listen to some of the shows that you missed about the things that we called in, sonic screwdrivers and paper tape and whatnot, and catch up on those inside jokes. Until then, we appreciate your support. If you like the show, there are many ways to show your love. You can call the listener line at 206-222-CHAT. That's 206-222-2428. Or email us, technorama@chuckdat.com, or Twitter us, or Google Plus us, or whatever. Again, if you want to watch this show being done live on Sunday night, 9:30 Eastern Time, follow Technorama Podcast, put in a circle on Google Plus, and you'll get notified when the show comes out. You know, my little phone beeped at me because it said, hey, you've been invited to a hangout. Because I got Google Plus app on there, which is kind of cool. Then you'll go, oh, it's time to do the Technorama thing.
Yeah, I actually jumped in our hangout while I was walking up the stairs.
That's kind of creepy.
What?
Why?
He jumped in the hangout while walking up the stairs. Kids, like don't portal. Text and drive, and don't hang out and walk.
It's like a portal.
Special thanks to Madbar for providing all the great blog content during the week. And you know what? We have a Technorama podcast page over on Google Plus also. So we're going to be cross-posting stuff over there. You'll see all kinds of cool and wacky things that we're throwing up there and on the blog. And, you know, just go to the website, chuckchat.com/Technorama, and you'll find links to all this good stuff. And thank you for listening. You did the honorable thing and downloaded and listening. And these next few weeks, you know what else they give us, Craig? Time to go back and listen to our shows for the last year and get some Parsec material. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we get to listen ourselves again.
A lot. Hey.
A lot.
We're not that bad. Don't make it sound like voice it's cracks, terrible.
Yeah.
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech. You can find out more at friendsintech.com. Also affiliated with all the great podcasts over at Farpoint Media. Go check them out at farpointmedia.com. Until next time, tell a friend about Technorama. Welcome back, Julie.
Yay.
And a binary high five.
Smash 101.
Technorama episode 342 for May 9, 2012. It's now legal. Dost thou, mother, know thou wearest her drapes?
It's not thou. Can you... If you're gonna edit it, don't say thou.
What was it?
Dost mother know thou wearest her drapes.
Oh, that, okay, we'll do that line over again. This is for the media corner.
It's not even thou, it's thine.
Wow, she's schooling you.
What did he say in the movie?
He didn't say anything there.
Oh, okay.
Now the student has become the master.
she pays better attention to the one-liners than I do. Let's do that over. Dost mother know... You can't laugh because it's on the same track as you and me. Dost mother know thine wearest her drapes? Okay. Craig's going to have fun editing.
No,
that,
okay, but. No.
Hey, wait.
Dost Chuck, thine mother know it. Thou wearest her drapes? But he didn't say anything. He said, dost mother know thou wearest her drapes? You got the second. No.
I think she just did. Dost mother know thou wearest her drapes? Let's go with that and get on with the show.
That was it. Sorry.
Okay.